You're listening to Boston Strongcast, a place where we talk all things powerlifting, strength, and the occasional scientific nerd session. I'm your host, Kevin Kahn, the owner of Precision Powerlifting Systems, strength coach and competitive powerlifter in the USAPL. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get stronger together. Hey guys, this is Kevin Kahn with Boston Strongcast. Due to scheduling conflicts, we were going to have the re-airing of the Kelly and Val interview that we had some technical difficulties with, but that'll probably be in a couple of weeks now, because next week we'll have a coach's corner. So in this one, I'm just going to kind of cover a few different topics. Some of them are going to kind of be personal. I'm going to talk, you know, as a coach about certain aspects that I've kind of had to deal with the last few weeks. And I'm also going to cover some personal stuff as an athlete. But first things first, July, so literally a week from when this airs, will be our 6-month anniversary of relocating to RX Strength Training in Somerville, Massachusetts. So before, we were, you know, we had our team, but we were under the banner of another gym and training within that gym and stuff. So now being out on our own, things are a little bit different. So I'm gonna kind of talk about that a little bit too. So when it first happened, everything kind of happened really, really quickly. And it took a little while for me to get my feet underneath me, to say the least. But now, you know, I'm out here. I'm the only coach, but and I'm just going to start off by saying this, that like without the help of every single one of the Precision Powerlifting Systems team members, you know, I 100% couldn't do everything that's required of me to do on my own. I mean, this podcast, Alyssa does it, Kerry, Danielle, Laurie, Kina, like there's been Nick, there's been a number of athletes that travel to meets when they're not competing. They take time off of work to do this. They run the warm-up room. They make sure everybody's ready. Everybody helps each other out when I'm in here filming these podcasts or, you know, like today I had a dentist appointment. So everybody kind of helps each other out. So we do. We have a great team and a great team environment. And I could not do this on my own. I actually think the future of powerlifting is going towards the whole team route for a reason. Because, you know, I know it's an individual sport. At the end of the day, we're all stepping on the platform by ourselves. But during certain times in training, like, you need spotters. You need people to hand you off. It's more fun and better to train in a group environment. There are times, like, even for me as an athlete, where things aren't going the way that I want them to go in the gym. So I reach out to Nick and Dave and just kind of, you know, they talk me off the ledge sometimes. So like having the team is really important. But getting into like the differences. So I make sure I'm here when everybody's lifting Monday through Friday. So my days literally are from 10 a.m. So I leave my house usually by 9:30-ish. I sit in traffic and get aggravated as all fucking hell. I get here. I coach from 10 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., maybe leaving for 10 minutes to go grab lunch, come back and eat it while people are still training. And that's Monday through Friday. And that doesn't include the mornings. I wake up at 7 a.m. I start writing programs. I need to write at least 3 or 4 every morning when I wake up. Tuesdays, I write articles. Thursdays, we have the podcast. Meets, there's at least, it seems like, a meet every weekend. Nationals coming up is going to require some travel and some logistics for the people that are still going to be here and training and everything. So it's quite a bit of work, and at times it becomes extremely overwhelming, and I do feel that I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants for the most part. However, it's much more rewarding to now be doing it on my own. I don't have to worry about other people's feelings getting hurt because we might train a little bit differently. I don't have to worry about somebody else having a say in how I'm going to train my lifters. It all comes down to what's best for them and how I want to do things. So at the end of the day, that's that. And don't get me wrong, the lifters have some input in their training, especially the ones who've been with me a little bit longer, the beginners not so much. You know, and there's been some really great changes that have occurred within the last 6 months. I've been doing the Coach's Corner, the monthly podcast with Ryan Gleason and Zach Cooper. And we're actually going to have Jeremy Hartman on the next one, and hopefully he continues to do it. So hopefully that whole network keeps getting bigger. But just from talking with them and seeing how they do things, I've changed our programming a little bit. We've added some new variations. We started to push lifts a little bit more on the intensity end. And then I've had good conversations with Nick Gadis. So even moving further, we started adding in some subjective monitoring into our programs. Certain athletes get intensity intervals with me. So based off of their subjective monitoring that they've gotten, that they've put into their sheets, they get some leeway in the weight that goes on the bar. This isn't for everyone. I don't let everybody do it, but mostly the ones that are going to go to nationals. I shouldn't say just the elite lifters. So there are intermediate lifters that are doing it as well. You know, and before, you know, Clint, who I met through TPS, does my Excel spreadsheet. So now I have an Excel spreadsheet that literally allows me to collect a year of data at a time on a given athlete, where I know for each lift, the squat, the bench, and the deadlift, the total number of lifts, total number of comp lifts, average intensities, total tonnage. It goes week by week. We've added in the acute chronic work ratio into the programming. It's kind of like I've done other podcasts and there's articles and stuff that you can look it up. I'm not going to go into great detail on what it is, but it basically is allows me to calculate each athlete's baseline volume at a given moment in time. It allows me to progress volume in an appropriate manner. Tells me when I need to reel it in a little bit more. And I'm, you know, collecting the data on that's actually giving me a little bit more insight on all of that. So in the aspects of programming in the last 6 months, a lot has changed between the data collection and how we actually do it. I mean, the foundation of the program is still the exact same. That part hasn't changed much. The volume recommendations, all those things are still the exact same. The only differences are there are certain days that we might push intensity a little bit in the elite athletes based off of their subjective measurements. Have a little bit of leeway with that, but they can't just put whatever they want on the bar at the same time either. So it's similar but different in a lot of ways. So there's been a lot of like positive forward motion and how I'm doing things. And at the end of the day, I literally met Chico 3 years ago, so June 20th, 2015. And at the time, I didn't even know the rules of powerlifting for the most part. I had a general idea, but I had never done a meet. I've never coached anybody at a meet. I never coached a powerlifter at that time. So October of that year, I did my first meet with Danielle Bond, who was basically patient zero with all of this. She did her first meet. And it's kind of been rolling forward from there. So, you know, if you look at it in terms of like novice, intermediate, and advanced for coaching, I'm still a novice coach. So surrounding myself with a bunch of coaches with a lot of experience and a good track record, I think is really accelerating my progress further, which was not the case before. Where I was before, I had very conflicting views on how stuff should be done. In terms of programming and coaching, all of that stuff. So there wasn't really it wasn't a good spot for me to be able to get better as a coach. And once I basically moved to here, I was able to get a network that better suits my needs. And of course, 3 years of being coached by Boris Chico has built me that foundation. So obviously I've learned a ton in that amount of time. And even just like to think that it's been 3 years, like it doesn't feel like it's been that long. Like grad school for me was 2 years. So, you know, and like grad school just felt like it took forever, and, you know, trying to learn everything I could at the time and all of that. And it's been a much different process. And I feel I've learned just as much from lifting as I have from just having him as my coach, like just getting under the bar and doing stuff. It's really kind of tweaked the way that I coach for everyone. And I think this actually brings me nicely into the next topic I want to cover, is that athlete-coach relationship. I'm going to try not to go off the rails too much on this because it's really important. So that coach-athlete relationship, like in order for an athlete to see results coming from that coach, they need to have belief and buy-in first. So any athlete that I coach has to believe that I know what I'm doing, that I'm capable of getting them stronger, and they have to completely buy in. They can't be on the fence, especially with a lot of the newer research showing that when you actually lift weights, it lights up that emotional part of your brain first, before it lights up that part of your brain that's responsible for those physiological adaptations. So how you feel about a coach, about a program, goes into you actually getting stronger. And this is why certain personalities probably click better with certain coaches and certain programs, and why they may get better results from doing that program than somebody with different personality types or beliefs in general. Alyssa kind of touched last week on her mini solo episode about personality types, and there's probably something to be said about those personality types and where those people fit along the scheme of programming and stuff. Because as coaches, there is a lot that we do that is similar, and there's a lot of stuff that we do that's different. So building that trust and that buy-in for me as a coach is one of the first things that I feel is necessary. And also, you know, in that first block, I want to build some work capacity. So I actually touched upon this when me, Kelly, and Val did our talk last week where we had technical difficulties. But when Kelly first came in, she had no powerlifting experience. Competing wasn't even on her radar and stuff. And we'll go into more about why she got into competing during that podcast. But she had gone to squat, and, you know, showing her how to and stuff, and she started tipping forward a lot, where, you know, the loss of balance was dangerous, like she risked falling over. So we put her feet a little straighter at the time, just to build some confidence, right? So putting the feet straighter give her some more back and forth stability in the squat, so she can practice the squat, build some work capacity, not be so scared to squat because she's afraid of falling over, and just kind of build up from there. The depth was not where we typically would like to see it in training, so we train an inch below competition depth. That way, when the weights get heavy or you get a little nervous at a meet, you have some buffer room if you cut a little high to hopefully still get a good lift. So Kelly competed in April, and she got all of her squats, but she was getting two whites and one red on each one. So depending on who that other side judge is, maybe she misses one because of depth, right? Like, it was close. But it was fine for what we needed to do at the time. So then coming off of that meet, so now we've been training for a little bit of time. Kelly had gained some confidence, not only in her abilities in the squat, but also my abilities to coach her in the lifts. And I think having a team really helps this too, because, you know, the Kerrys and the Danielles and the Nicks are constantly letting the other lifters know that, like, it's frustrating, I was there before, but stick with it, right? So they help that whole belief and buy-in. So after that meet, I let her recover a little bit before we actually started to change it. So maybe 2 weeks after the meet, I had her open up her feet a little bit more again, because that's what we needed to do. Like, her feet were just too straight, and she was just kind of like folding over and barely hitting depth. So now we open up the feet a little bit, we opened up the toe angle so that she can stay a little more upright, open her knees, and sink her hips below it. Now, there was a regression at the time in the squat. It felt heavy, and she struggled, and she got frustrated with me on multiple occasions. But, you know, at times as a coach, your athletes are going to get frustrated with you. You got to be okay with that, and you can't just be a people pleaser. And that was kind of how it had to be. 3-4 weeks later, everything was fine. And her squat's starting to come back up. It feels a little heavier to her because now she's squatting a little bit deeper. The depth's where it's where it needs to be, but it's much more upright. The bar passed a lot more. She's starting to gain confidence now with the squat, and it's moving back up to probably what she had hit before. But now we're in a better spot. So now we can continue to advance, and hopefully over time, and you know, she wants to stick with it. Like, she's very dedicated. She'll qualify for nationals. And now when she goes to nationals, it's not going to be a question of whether she's going to get whites or not. She's put herself in a position to be successful at that big stage. And that's kind of the goal with that. But even at the same time, because the squat's taken a hit and we're using lighter weights, her deadlift started to progress pretty good. The technique was cleaning up quite a bit. Like, she would have her back round a lot. So we pushed the deadlift a little bit, and she ended up hitting, I let her take a heavy single in training. I think it was like a 20-pound PR on the deadlift. So at the time that her confidence is kind of getting shot with the squat, she's getting extremely frustrated. I felt it was important at the time to give her a little confidence boost by using the deadlift. So her seeing that, it kind of keeps that level. Like, yeah, I don't always feel that you need to test or you need to hit those PRs in training, but as a novice lifter who's struggling a little bit with the squat because we're taking a step back so that we can make multiple steps forwards, you know, you're messing around with the confidence levels of the athlete, and you want to make sure that there's some balance there. And I know there's a quote that's like, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know you care or something like that. And that's entirely true. So you can write the best program, but if you're not capable of getting the information about, you don't show them that you actually care about them as a person and as a lifter, they're probably not going to listen, and they're probably not going to get the most out of the program. And there's been some cool current research. I'm having a literal mental fart on the name of the researcher, but he's been doing a lot of research. Mike Teixeira has mentioned him quite a bit. I heard him. He was interviewed on the Strength Athlete podcast. The physical therapist for our team, Dr. Mike Amato, has sent me some of his stuff too. And he basically is saying that the periodization models might be flawed because of how important personal beliefs are in those physiological adaptations. So understanding that, like, I don't think we just abandon periodization and all of the other concepts that have been utilized in the strength sports for a long period of time in favor of just doing what the hell we want. I think it gives us structure, and it kind of is a roadmap for the journey of the athlete. But it also means we can't just be stuck in our ways. If it's on paper, it doesn't mean it has to be done. As a coach, I'm in the gym here. I am continually changing what weights on the bar, exercises. Like, there are times where you need to be adaptive to the situations at hand. Like, and understanding that, you know, yeah, it might mess your, in quotations, your perfectly periodized model, but it's what's best for the athlete at this given time to get them the best results at their biggest competitions. So that stuff's important. And, you know, there are times too, like with that coach athlete relationship, that, you know, Nick had a rough nationals. It wasn't a bad meet. He went 7-for-9. Didn't really, he had a PR on bench, but it didn't go the way that he had planned. So coming up in his last meet in April, I wanted to make sure that kid went out and had a really good meet. He did. He went 9-for-9, hit PRs on everything. It was like a 30 kilo PR total. And he had now he has that confidence moving forward. You know, I know Dave had a couple bad meets leading up to nationals last year, and I wanted to make sure he had a good meet. So I was a little bit more conservative on some of the attempt selections for Dave with the squat and with the deadlift, just for that reason. Like, you know, leave the platform and think I held you back because you had a good day. You know, I feel that stuff's important. Kerry had a rough meet at the Arnold. Even though she matched her best squat on her second attempt, and then hit a bench PR, but the deadlift was very poor. So even on that day there, the bench looked really good, and she probably could have hit that 2.5 kilos higher than what she hit on her third, but I didn't want to risk missing it. I wanted her to at least leave saying, hey, I hit my best squat as a second, and I PR'd my bench. We just got to figure out the deadlift. And there are times, like as a coach, like, and we'll use Kerry's deadlift for this, where I want to back it off and just work on technique, because technically Kerry's deadlift is not very good. But even though her technique is not very good, it's very strong. So I know she needed a confidence boost, and I know it was really getting to her. And this last block of training, I literally was just like, fuck it. Whatever it looks like, let's just fucking get after it and see what happens. And in the middle of the block, like with more volume than she's ever done, she pulled 350, which is like a, it's like a 8.5 pound or something, all-time PR at 52 kilograms. So hopefully she tests her deadlift on the 4th of July. So this is obviously pre-recorded. So hopefully she hits a little bit more than that. But her confidence is back. She's attacking the weights. And, you know, there's got to be a balance. Like, we got to figure out a balance. And this is why I like having conversations with my athletes, the ones who've been with me longer, about this stuff. So me and Kerry will have a conversation of how we plan on fixing this. Not necessarily fixing it, but making it a little bit better so that we can keep pushing that total. And we'll be able to do that. We have in the past, and it's always worked out great. I'm going to switch gears a little bit now and talk about going off program a little bit. So I'm going to first start off talking about this as an athlete. You know, having Chico as my coach, there's a lot of submaximal training, and there's a lot of focus on the bigger picture. So those long-term goals, right? Like, powerlifting is a sport that I plan to do, hopefully, well into the later stages of my life. I love competing. Sports has always been a huge part of my life through college, after college, and, you know, in a few weeks I'm going to be 35, and I love to compete. It's part of who I am, and powerlifting kind of gives me that outlet to be a little bit aggressive, compete in a sport, and hopefully compete in a sport for a long period of time. However, because I am extremely competitive, it's hard at times to be patient and take the slow, steady route, because, you know, as a coach, I know 100% that that's the right way to go. I have zero doubts that taking 2.5 to 7.5 kilo PRs every competition on each one of the lifts is great progress. But there are times where, you know, I'm seeing people that I know I'm a better athlete than, and I'm seeing them lift more than me, and their technique kind of sucks. Not sucks, but like, their technique isn't on point. There's a lot of flaws, but they're lifting a lot more weight, and they're hitting these 20, 30 pound PRs, and their totals are just shooting up while mine's just steadily progressing over time. And it gets extremely frustrating. So there was a few weeks where, you know, I wanted to get out some aggression in the gym. I was getting really frustrated with the progress on my lifts. I wanted it all now, let's put it that way. So I went off the rails a little bit, and I just started blasting. You know, I wasn't changing the volume. I would just, you know, if I had doubles planned that day, I'd work up to something heavy and then maybe back off a little bit. If I had singles, I'd work up to heavy singles. If I had triples, heavy triples, like, I really, like, put the pedal down hard. And at the end of the day, my squat went up the same amount, but the technique was just not there. It was a lot more inconsistent. And even though it went up that much, you know, the same amounts, under those heavier weights, it wasn't as stable. I had a much more difficult time. My bench didn't move, even though I was going after it a lot. My deadlift, I think, went up 13 pounds. My squat went up 15 pounds and my bench didn't move. So, you know, even though I did all of that, it kind of was a nice, like, you know, brought me back to realization, like, there's stuff I need to work on. If I want to hit bigger numbers, I need to start doing things right. And it helped me kind of get back on track. As an athlete, if I'm coaching an athlete and they're going off program, we're going to have a conversation. If they continue to go off program, they're done. At the end of the day, as a coach, I'm judged on how well everybody performs. And I will not be judged if somebody performs poorly and they're going off program. If somebody's on running the program and they do poorly, I will wholeheartedly take that responsibility. But the other way around, I won't. It makes me look bad when people are posting these videos. That's not how I coach. It's not how I do things. That's not what I want out there. So as an athlete, when I was talking to Zach Cooper about this, he said that they use a hashtag all the time. That's, you know, it's an acronym, but it stands for follow the fucking program. And 100% follow the program, because even if it doesn't work, we know why it doesn't work. Right? I'm collecting all of this data and I have it all in front of me. And if something doesn't work, but something that worked before, I can compare it and I can see kind of, you know, where we're at, maybe what we need to do and come up with a solution. But if you're going off program and I don't have accurate data, I don't know. We're throwing darts at a dartboard. And like having that long-term bigger picture in mind, it's not always just going to be linear progress. There's going to be times. I mean, I've talked about Nick, Dave, and Kerry having poor meets. It happens. But because they run the program, I'm able to see maybe what we're missing or what we could improve upon or what we could change so that that doesn't continue to happen. But if they were going off program all the time, it'd be nothing more than a guess. And on top of that, like not even just having that data, but having the network of coaches that I've developed over the last 6 months has helped a lot in those areas too, with Zach, Ryan, and Nick. So the other part that like I don't understand, this is a rhetorical question, but why pay a coach if you're going to go off program? Just save your money and write your own program. It's kind of where I stand on that. You know, and I get it from both ends because I'm an athlete on one end and I'm a coach at the other end. So I get these conflicting voices, like one on each shoulder at times, that are kind of telling me opposing things. And, you know, hopefully my level-headedness continues to serve me well. And I think, and this is going to kind of lead into the next topic too, you know, I think as I become more mature as a lifter and more experienced as a coach, like I understand those things better and I'm just better at handling it, for lack of a better word. So speaking of maturing, so I basically 3 years ago just started lifting. I did the whole MMA thing for about 10 years before that, so I wasn't putting a bar in my back. I did the occasional front squat, you know, trap bar deadlift, but it was just a lot of, you know, like single leg stuff, moving around in the gym, just kind of staying healthy. Still doing some like athletic stuff, like some speed agility stuff, just because I was familiar with it. And it's fun. But when I had signed up for the meet, you know, I met Chico and started lifting and everything. So it's been literally 3 years exactly. So I'm still a novice lifter. And I was actually kind of talking about this with Kerry on Monday when we tested. So going into a test, I'd have all these emotions. Like there'd be nerves for sure, but I'd be like super hyped up and super excited and wanted like the perfect song to fire me up. And, you know, it became a real emotional adventure, I guess, so to speak. And what I realized, like, at those times, like, I would get tired towards the end. At those meets, a couple weeks later, like, by the time deadlifts rolled around, all I wanted to do was take a nap. And I could tell things were starting to change a little bit back in February when I competed. you know, I still had similar emotions. They just weren't as, I guess, as high. I think, you know, I was putting so much pressure on myself as a lifter. I needed to hit PRs. Like, I want my training numbers to go up. I want to hit a PR on the platform. Like, this next meet, of course, you know, some bullshit local meet when I have, you know, a total that's not competitive at all, doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's just, let's see where we're at. Let's see what we need to work on. Let's continue to gain experience competing, lifting in front of the judges, all of those things, right? Like, a 5-pound PR on a subpar total isn't that big of a deal at the end of the day. Like, if I don't hit it, well, this time we'll figure it out and we'll make those adjustments and it'll be better next time. If training numbers become too light, we're gonna add more weight on the bar anyway, so it doesn't matter. Just go out there and lift. So it was at that test, my squat, this is back in February, my squat was so fucking shitty. And like, it was a 5-pound PR, I think, or 10-pound PR, and it was all over the place. And I was like, defeated. Not defeated, but I was extremely pissed off. And like, being pissed off after missing that probably negatively affected my bench press at that test. And it was kind of like a rude awakening for me. So when I got to the meet, I wasn't as emotionally invested. I just kind of like went out there and lifted. So I ended up taking, it was only like 5 pounds less than the shitty single I took in the gym as a third, and it looked a lot better. Bench didn't go very well at that meet. I missed my third, but everything just felt really heavy that day. And then I hit a deadlift PR, and it was extremely fast. Like, it was good. But then fast forward, you know, I went through that whole process of kind of going off the program and putting more weight in the bar and just wanting to lift heavy because that's what I felt I needed. And then finally, like, coming to my senses and just, you know, telling myself to shut the fuck up and follow, as Zach would say, follow the fucking program. So I had in my head too, like, this kind of goes against everything I was saying with like buy-in for that physiological adaptation. But it comes around. So I had this thought in my head that I needed to handle heavier bench singles. Like, I haven't hit a bench PR in 2 years. I need to feel something heavy. I get my block and there's just a shit ton of bench volume. It's not light. But it's not heavy. But there is a lot of bench volume. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't need volume. And then, you know, and this is me as an athlete, but then the coaching side of it is, you know, started kind of speaking up. You do need volume. Like, this is what you need. You know, you need to fix those little technical things that are going on. You need to take every rep, put every ounce of effort into it, get that bar path on point, and just run the program. And there were days where it felt really easy and I might go up 2 or 3% on the bar type of thing, just making sure I'm in that effort range that I look for with all my lifters and stuff. I go out during my test and I ended up hitting a PR, a 10-pound PR pretty easily, and first one I've hit in a couple years. So, you know, and that's just a nice way of reinforcing me to let my coaching voice speak a little bit more to the athlete self, and just follow the program. For squats, so coming into this test in general, like, I wasn't nervous, I wasn't excited. I'm always excited to train. I shouldn't say I wasn't excited. So I wasn't any more excited to test than I am to train anyways. Didn't care what song was gonna play or any of that stuff. I went out there and I just lifted like it was any other training day. And the positive takeaways, I think, by me not getting so emotional, not putting so much pressure on myself to hit these PRs and whatever, ended up hitting 25 pounds more than my third attempt in February, which is 20 pounds more than I've hit in the gym before. And I mean, it pushed me around. Depth was questionable. Grace said it was good from the side, from the front angle that I filmed. It looked like it might have been high. Maybe it gets too white-sided meat. Maybe it gets red-lighted for depth. my hips kind of slid out and I kind of made for this, like I was off balance. I kind of made for this pause as I came up. I got the lift. It's a good gym lift. And at the end of the day, I'm happy I felt that weight because it was heavier. I got to be better at not letting the weight push me around. So it gave me some things to work on. But at the same time, the two lifts I took before were my second and third attempts in February, and they were fast and they were smooth with very, very minimal technical breakdown. So that's, you know, they were 90 and 95% of my best. And even just a few months ago, I mean, they were 95 and close to 100% of my best. And now they're moving with very little technical breakdown. So I'm right there. Like something had clicked a few weeks ago in the squat that just, it just needs a little bit more practice, which I'm going to get after the meet. So I'm set for some good meet PRs coming into this one in July. So I'm very happy about that stuff. And I think being able to look at it without letting emotions get in the way, to be able to look at it more rationally, and how I would look at it as a coach is my technique is improving to the point where, you know, a few months ago, my 95 and close to my 100% that were all over the place. You know, the knees coming in a little bit, the chest pitching forward, they were grindy at that time, are now moving smooth with very little technical breakdown. And they're still heavy. So, you know, even with my new number, they're 90 and 95%. So, you know, I think maybe my confidence under 450 was a little sharp. Maybe it was just a bad rep. Maybe if I had taken it, not again on that same day, but if I had taken it and, you know, I was in a little bit more control, I was a little bit more focused, like it was just a bad rep. I think, you know, I'm not worried about it on the platform or even afterwards. So, you know, moving on from there, I test deadlifts on the 4th of July. Again, that's tomorrow when I'm recording this, but it'll already have happened by the time you're listening to this. So my feelings after the test are I got some things to work on in the squat. I'll take it as a gym PR. I'm happy I got to feel the weight because I know what I need to do the next time. I'm set up for a good PR on the platform. Bench, I'm happy it's finally moving. And I'm kind of, I can feel myself maturing as a lifter. And the fact that I've only been lifting for 3 years, I don't have any right to get emotional or to get upset. I've just started to fucking do this. And at the end of the day, my numbers aren't bad for somebody that has only been lifting for 3 years, and hopefully I improve upon that. You know, my gym total's a little over 600 kilos with my old deadlift best at 98 kilos body weight. It's not that bad after 3 years. And I feel everything's starting to click technically as of a couple weeks ago. So moving forward, I think we'll be able to load it a little bit more. Volumes will increase. And I think I'll have another growth spurt on that total moving forward. That's about all I had on the list to cover here. We're at about 40 minutes, so I'm going to wrap it up. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at KWCan. That way you can see how my deadlift test goes. Follow our team at Precision Powerlifting Systems so you can see how Kerry's deadlift test goes. And stay strong, Boston.